The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The postponement of today's meeting between the Minister for Justice Helen McEntee and the UK Home Secretary James Cleverly comes amid rising tensions between both countries about their immigration policies. Yesterday, the Taoiseach Simon Harris said that Ireland will not provide a loophole for Britain's migration challenges. Joining me now, James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North and Chair of the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Justice, and Aisling Maloney, Political Correspondent for the Irish Daily Mail. Good morning to you both. We'll go to you first, Aisling. Aisling, the genesis of this trouble, will you explain to us Rishi Sunak's comments and who actually pulled the meeting?
So this is the Justice Minister Helen McEntee is meant to meet the Home Secretary James Cleverly today, but the meeting was postponed. We understand that it was postponed on the British side, that it was a diary clash on Mr. Cleverly's side.
That's just an excuse, though, isn't it?
Well, look, this is what the official line is. But last night there were communications from a UK government source saying that the UK will not accept any asylum returns from the EU via Ireland until the EU accepts that we can send them back to France. So I suppose, as you say there, the genesis of this, I mean, it's interesting that you have that UK government source speaking last night, and then all of a sudden after that came out, we had the cancellation of this meeting. Now, they're saying that they're postponing it and another date will be facilitated. But essentially what's happening here is that Ireland recently paused our return of migrants, asylum seekers that travel from the UK into Ireland via the northern border. Previously, we were able to return them back to the UK if they had sought asylum there. But now we haven't been able to do that due to a High Court challenge in Ireland. And so the Irish government were trying to get that back up and running through this meeting tomorrow. But in the meantime, then the British government, which are dealing with a high level of migrants coming into the country, Brexit did not solve that issue for them. And they're saying that they won't agree or they won't do another deal with Ireland on this issue until the EU let them send migrants that arrive in small boats across the channel back to France, where they would have, you know, started their journey across the channel. So I suppose it's kind of a standoff there. A quick pro quo between the UK, the EU and Ireland is potentially what's happening here. The UK using the opportunity, of course, to underline, you know, they're being tough on migration. This is also in the context part of the UK going to the polls later this week for the local elections in England. But then also, you know, it's kind of time is of the essence. And there's lots of questions being asked over there around when the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, will actually call an election. Some speculation that it might be as soon as July. And this is one issue that the Tory government want to be seen to be tough on. They want to be seen to be making progress on the Rwanda plan, which is the plan the British government have devised, where those who seek international protection in the UK would actually be sent on a plane to Rwanda to be processed, regardless of where they've come from, that they would be processed in Rwanda. And once then they get a positive application, they can be admitted to the UK. A very controversial plan, one that has been stuck in the pipeline for many months.
Yeah, now Rishi Sunak has pledged that the first flights will take off in a matter of weeks. And there's a story today that, in fact, on this very day, in advance of the local elections, that police are charged with rounding up people who have entered illegally and who will be detained until the first flight goes. But we had some detail last week on the programme that the maximum numbers of people who might be sent to Rwanda in a given year would be maybe 300. When there are thousands and thousands coming across on boats across the channel. So you could see Rwanda, at a cost of billions, being window dressing of a problem that simply is not going to go away for Britain.
Yes, and essentially, I think this is kind of the whole essence of a government maybe being seen to be doing something rather than actually having an effective policy, as you say there, when you compare potentially 300 that could be sent to Rwanda versus the absolute, you know, thousands that are entering the country. And not just the UK, this is a Europe-wide phenomenon. It's an international phenomenon. The movement of people is at a peak that we have not seen in recent years and recent decades. So the Rwanda policy, I mean, what kind of played into the British government's hands this week was that you had Helen McEntee coming out on Tuesday, Pat, saying that Ireland was seeing a significant proportion of our international protection.
Yeah, she said over 80% of the people arriving looking for international protection had come via Northern Ireland.
Yeah, so she said that. And then a few days later, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, came out to say that this was, you know, potentially an impact of the British government going along the lines of a Rwanda policy. And then you had Rishi Sunak yesterday doing an interview with Sky News saying, well, there you go. It shows the deterrent effect of the policy. So it's kind of worked out for the British government in creating this idea that it's a policy that is making people choose other countries than the UK. Yeah. And of course, we have an open border with the UK. So, of course, people can cross freely. There are no checks on the border, as we know. So they can fly into Belfast via the UK.
Now, the thing about all of this, Aisling, is that although Rishi Sunak may have been impolitic in making the remark, he's probably right. He's probably right that the threat to fly people to Rwanda has had people looking around saying, well, where can I go? Where's a safe haven for me? And if I get to Northern Ireland, I can shimmy across the border because it's an open border. And I might be safer there for at least for a period. And there's no way, for example, that the Irish government would ever have a policy where they pay billions to Rwanda to take people directly from here. There'd be an outcry anyway in this country. So they figure if we get to Ireland, we're safe.
Well, there's actually, I suppose, a few question marks, Pat, over whether this is, you know, a direct impact, whether, you know, A equals B here, because, you know, even Helen McEntee saying that 80% of our international protection applicants are coming across the border. We don't know that for certain.
Well,
because we don't count
just to clarify something, Aisling, months and months ago, our chief reporter, Barry White, interviewed people outside at the International Protection Office in Dublin. And so many of them told him they came down through Northern Ireland. Now, you know, the powers that be chose not to hear that or believe that at the time. But it was demonstrably true, because these guys, they didn't see anything wrong with what they had done. They wanted to seek asylum in Ireland. This was their way in. They explained how they'd come. But the powers that be didn't seem to want to take notice. Now they're obviously counting and getting the numbers. And it may well be that Helen McEntee is right in her estimation.
Well, of course, but I think, I suppose there's lots of push factors as well, rather than, you know, maybe Rwanda being the sole factor. I mean, Ireland, we're another English speaking country. We have a labour shortage. We need workers. We're also part of the EU. So if an asylum seeker wanted to be, you know, accepted into an EU country rather than the UK, we're attractive in that way as well. I suppose what I'm trying to say, Pat, there is that there's no, and NGOs are saying this as well, the ones that represent refugees and asylum seekers, is that there is no, you know, empirical evidence that has showed us that it is absolutely 100% down to Rwanda, the Rwanda policy. It is 100% down to, you know, one of another factors. It's a myriad of factors. And also...
But the prospect, if you come from some part of the world that is nowhere near Rwanda, I mean, you could have come from the Middle East, you could have come from wherever in the world, and you're told, if we catch you, we're sending you to a part of Africa which is only really notorious for the genocide in Rwanda, for little else that people know about. This is where we're sending you, and the British have declared it to be a safe country, and you don't speak the language, you don't know anybody, you've no kith and kin in that place. I mean, that's a terrifying prospect.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've heard NGOs speaking out this morning saying that there's going to be, you know, intense human suffering and human misery caused by a plan such as that. But also, I suppose you have to consider the journey that many people have taken before they got to the UK, that it was, you know, often filled with, you know, either arriving on a small boat to the UK or coming from the continent of Africa or the Middle East on a small boat, which is incredibly dangerous. And so you have to weigh up whether, I suppose, suppose the migrants themselves, you know, maybe they just can't make that extra journey to Ireland. So that might be keeping them there as well. Also, if you've claimed asylum in the UK, you know, if you chance going to Ireland, you could be sent back, and then that kind of complicates your application. So people do take all those things into consideration. You know, you have to consider these people have gone through something that I suppose.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that
myself, I can never understand what they've gone through. Yeah. You know, and there's lots of push and pull factors. But what we're hearing is the push factors from their own home country are the strongest, rather than any pull factor to Ireland. You know, any enticing. You know, people would say quality.
No, I mean, it's the terror of being sent to Rwanda is real. I mean, if you were in that situation, knowing nothing about Rwanda and not being from the continent of Africa, for example, and even on the continent of Africa, it's so big that peoples are very diverse and so on. So you're being told you're being sent to Rwanda. I mean, it is to hell or to Connacht.
Well, yes, but as you say there, you know, there's no planes have left yet. So there's no evidence, you know, that the British government, I suppose it's passed through their parliament last week, but there still could be challenges.
Yeah.
To people boarding those planes. And also you could have a change in British government very soon. So all those things are taken into consideration as well.
Aisling, thank you very much for joining us. Aisling Maloney, political correspondent for the Irish Daily Mail. And also on the line, James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, chair of the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Justice. James, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So where is the resolution to all of this? Because we have an open border. When we were all in the EU together before Brexit, it wasn't really an issue because we had initially the Dublin Agreement whereby people would be sent back. Now, how many people actually were sent back to the place where they first sought asylum, I don't really know. I'm not sure it was implemented as rigorously as it might be, but at least we had that agreement and the UK was part of any agreements that existed. That day is gone. So what's to be done?
Yeah, so a lot of this has come to light because of hearings I've been conducting as chair of the Justice Committee into these issues in recent weeks. And we have another one tomorrow where we'll hear from various stakeholders and experts on the EU Asylum Pact. Just, I suppose, there's a bit of a perfect storm at the moment. We heard Aisling talk about the political context in the UK. I think it's worth briefly going back to that. There are elections coming up in the UK, I think, Thursday or Friday of this week. Rishi Sunak's party is under pressure. All the polls put them well behind Labour and even the Reform Party, and Labour Democrats chasing at their heels. So he's under pressure to act tough and talk tough and try to recover some of that vote. We then have an unprecedented number of migrants coming into Ireland and the UK and across Western Europe because of various crises globally. And then we have this ruling of the High Court about a month ago, which found that the UK was not a safe country. So I suppose everything is kind of culminating at once. Just taking them in turn, the ruling of the High Court, it wasn't actually predicated on the Rwanda situation. It was predicated on the fact that when UK left EU as part of Brexit, there were various different, there was a million different redesignations of all sorts of things, trade and customs and moving of peoples and all sorts of things, as we all know. It was torturous for a while going through it over that couple of years. But one of the items that was done when the UK left, they were designated as a third country as opposed to an EU country. And the way in which that was done, the judge found that there's a framework that you have to apply if you're assessing a third country. So on the same day the judge gave that ruling, she also found that the designation of South Africa was fine, was valid, had been done correctly. But the designation of the UK was not fine because it didn't go through that matrix of kind of questions that say, well, does it satisfy this? Does it satisfy that? It actually wasn't based on the Rwanda situation because the judge said, well, that's a separate matter. And if I need to look at that afterwards, I will. But that right now, that's not part of my decision. So just to put that in context, the other thing that's interesting about the Rwanda situation is it's not entirely unprecedented. So, for example, Turkey, there was a deal between the EU and Turkey about 10 years ago when Syrian migrants were flooding in during the Syrian war, that Turkey sort of held them in a holding pen before they got to Europe. And the EU effectively paid Erdogan to facilitate that. Also, just this year, Italy has done a deal with Albania. So in Sunak's case in the UK, we're talking about a couple of hundred refugees being sent back to Rwanda or sent to Rwanda. Italy is sending 36,000 migrants, people that are washing up on the shores of the Mediterranean, to Albania on a deal that they've done to hold them there until they can be processed. And actually, under the EU Asylum Pact, which we're deliberating in my committee at the moment, it would be possible for the EU to enter third-party agreements. So even though people...
Hang on a second. You know, Italy and Albania, they're not a million miles apart. The UK and Rwanda I mean, this is not, this is just ridiculous.
Sure. And I don't have much time for the UK approach or for the current government that's there. But I suppose just put it in the context that it's not the only reason that migrants are streaming over the border from Northern Ireland. And it's not the reason at all why the judge refused to designate the UK a safe country. It was actually to do with the matrix that was applied. And neither is it completely unprecedented.
I'm just sick and tired of all that legal nicety. I mean, people want clarity in all of this. And they want to know what is going to be done since we can't seal our borders. What is going to be done about the people who are coming here seeking asylum, having abandoned whatever process they were in Britain, whether or not they entered legally, you know, seeking asylum or illegally across the channel? You know, we need clarity as to what's to be done.
Sure. I don't consider it legal nicety. I consider it the law of the land. And I consider it quite fundamental to how any of us do our business, particularly in public office. So what is being done is that lacuna that was identified by Judge Phelan is now being addressed by a bill that I think will go through this week, probably Wednesday night, which will change that assessment matrix. Nothing to do with Rwanda, actually, but will change the assessment matrix that decides how a third country is designated, and in particular how the UK was designated. And that will mean then that migrants can begin to be returned.
Are you saying that this matrix, which is fiddling with a sort of an algorithm, really, will be such that the UK will be deemed a safe country?
Yes.
Even though sending them back to the UK would mean passage to Rwanda, and is Rwanda a safe country?
It may or may not. It may or may not, because we've heard a variety of people tell us that the Rwanda deal is a couple of hundred people. The UK population is, what, 60 million? We're talking about a couple of hundred people. And the number of migrants coming in. I mean, I suppose the reason I mentioned Italy and Albania and Turkey and Syria is not to defend the Rwandan deal, far from it, but to say that actually we're talking about a minority of a minority of a minority. It's really optics for Rishi Sunak to try to talk tough, act tough. I don't think it's going to make a jot of difference to his migration policy.
No, but I mean, you know the way we use our courts and people representing migrants use our courts, whether it's an initial district court, circuit court, high court, supreme court, we use that. Now, as an individual, if you are likely, when you go back to the UK, being sent back by us, and there's no guarantee that they will accept those people being sent back, by the way, but you're being sent back by us to the UK, and there is a chance, however small, of being sent to Rwanda, and I don't know whether your matrix would determine Rwanda to be a safe country. But the question is, would that threat, however remote it might be, but real nonetheless, if that was there, then could you not argue in our courts, if I go over there, I'm likely to end up in Rwanda and I don't believe Rwanda's safe?
So you couldn't argue that if the legislation is clear. So legislation is the ultimate law. So the courts interpret legislation and the courts decide cases and decide case law in the absence of legislation.
So how will legislation determine that Rwanda is a safe country for people that we will send to the UK who will bounce them onto Rwanda? So how will legislation address that?
You can pass legislation. Once it's constitutional, you can pass legislation. The government can pass, the Iraqis can pass whatever legislation it wants to on any topic. So the legislation...
So you're saying that the government can declare that Rwanda or any country in the world is a safe country just
Rwanda
by...
Rwanda's a bit of a red herring. Okay, the point I'm making,
no, it's not, because it's at the heart of this. It's the heart of the row between the UK and Ireland at the moment. I don't know whether you've seen the latest that Helen McEntee has pulled out of the British-Irish conference.
They cancelled on her, yeah.
You've seen that. So she was supposed to meet cleverly on the margins of that conference. She's pulled out now, saying, no, not going, even though her officials are already there for that conference. She says, I'm looking forward to our meeting someday with Cleverly, but for the moment I'm not getting involved in this conference thing, the British-Irish conference, because of what Cleverly has done to me.
Yeah, so let's just double back down. Let's get back to basics, okay? So the reason that the High Court was able to strike down the designation of UK as a safe country is because of a lacuna in the law. That lacuna is about to be addressed as early potentially as Wednesday night. When that happens, the gap that the judge identified will no longer exist. And therefore, it will not be a valid criteria for somebody to say, well, hang on, you can't deport me to the UK because I might go to Rwanda. UK will be designated a safe country. What happens beyond that? Is it
okay, so you're saying the way this will work is that we actually don't care what happens to them when they go to Britain. Yeah, we deport them because we're entitled to under this new matrix that will address the lacuna in the law. So we deport them and we actually don't care what Rishi Sunak does to them. Isn't that it?
We can't adopt all the troubles of the world onto our island. I mean,
that's what the Taoiseach has said. That we're not going to resolve the challenges, the immigration challenges. But the final bit of this jigsaw is if the UK says, sorry, we're not taking them back.
Well, that I suppose that moves on to the next issue. I always think it's unhelpful to, there's sort of a protocol, diplomatic protocol, that sovereign nations don't usually criticize each other and don't usually get into these kind of rows. And it's a little bit unusual what's going on at the moment. I think it's a sign of the desperation, perhaps at the top of Rishi Sunak's government, because he's coming to a local election season, possibly followed by a general election, where he's expected his party will be trounced and handed out of office. I actually thought it was unhelpful as well for Michelle O'Neill, the Sinn Féin First Minister, to come out and make statements yesterday and Sunday at the Sinn Féin local election launch in Dublin, effectively criticising the Irish government's policy and, you know, as it pertains to the border and so forth. I thought that was probably unhelpful and probably not very diplomatic when we're trying to work towards an All-Ireland policy, to have sort of bickering between. Okay. And I suppose it's a function of having a party that's trying to chase and oppose the government on one side of the island, and that's in government on the other side, being supported and assisted by the government here. So that's kind of a hard circle to square. But look, bottom line, this is being sorted, and this will be sorted this week, I expect. And that plugs that loophole. Mm-hmm. And then the EU Asylum Pact provides for this going forward, how this can be better managed in the future. And actually, ironically, one of the things that could do is that third country processing. I think that we're going to have to get to grips with this globally, and this may become a pattern they're going to see more often, these kind of third country. The problem is, I agree with you, Rwanda is not a desirable place for anybody, but perhaps places like Albania, or perhaps the Turkey deal with Syria before, did have some merit and should be explored, and the EU could be enabled to do that if the asylum pact goes through.
Right. James, thank you very much for joining us. That's James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North and Chair of the Oireachtas Joint Committee on
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.